Welcome to Truth 101 with Dr. Greg Ammons, a podcast which examines tenets of the Christian faith in a systematic way. Dr. Ammons serves as a local church pastor and professor of theology in the undergraduate, master's, and doctoral levels, bringing years of experience into the theological arena. Now, here's Dr. Ammons.
Well, hello again, and welcome to Truth 101. Glad that you've joined us. It has been a while since we've had our last episode, but we're glad to be coming back to you again and picking up once again with the 700 series as we're talking about the topic of angels. We looked at angels parts 1 and 2 in the last two episodes, and in this third episode in the series, I want us to talk a little bit further about some biblical notes about angels and how we as believers are to relate to them. So let's jump right in and start talking about some biblical aspects of angels and our relationship to them. The Bible makes it very clear, with a lot of different verses teaching us about angels, as to the existence of angels, the nature of their activity, and just some concepts about angels that are present around us. We should not assume that the Bible's teaching about angels has nothing whatsoever to do with us or with our lives. Rather, there are several ways in which our Christian life will be enriched by an awareness of the existence of angels and actually the ministry of angels in the world today. Now, whenever it comes to talking about angels and worship, first of all, whenever we come before God in worship, we are joining not only with the great company of believers here, but also with the angels, the great throng of angels. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, the innumerable angels in festal gatherings, end quote, that those angels are joining with us as we worship God ourselves. I don't know how many times you've actually maybe thought about it, but as we're worshiping on Sunday with other believers around us, that there are angels also in heaven that are worshiping at the same time. Though we may not ordinarily see or hear evidence of these heavenly beings and heavenly worship going on, we know from Scripture that it is taking place, and in fact that angels are joining us in the worship of God. Now, the author of Hebrews also makes it very clear that sometimes angels can take human form. Apparently, some people say to make inspection visits. I don't know if it's inspection visits or not, like maybe a restaurant critic showing up at a restaurant as to see if everything's on the level, as Wayne Grudem suggests. But we do know that they're around us, and they sometimes take on human form and make human visits. Now, we know that because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 tells us, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers," it says, "for thereby some have entertained angels unaware," end quote. That's from Hebrews 13, 2. If you look in Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 19, both, angels made appearances in human form, and the person to whom they interacted with, they thought they were so lifelike and human-like, they thought they were humans. They didn't say, "Oh wow, it's an angel." No, they thought they were human. And so, this should make us eager to minister to the needs of other people whom we don't know, all the while wondering if someday we'll get to heaven and meet the angel whom we helped whenever the angel appeared temporarily as a human, maybe in distress, and then we get to heaven and meet the angel that we actually helped. That's a distinct possibility based on what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 tells us. Perhaps maybe we are suddenly delivered from danger or distress, and we might suspect that maybe God sent an angel to help us, and we should be thankful. That kind of thing happened in the Scripture. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible tells us that an angel shut the mouths of the lions so they would not hurt Daniel. Acts chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we're told that angels delivered the apostles from prison. Later on, chapter 12, we see an angel delivered Peter from prison. And in Matthew 4, after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, we are told that angels ministered to Jesus at a time of great weakness after His temptations had ended. So we see from Scripture that there is a precedent there, that angels sometimes come down to we humans and minister to us in different ways. And so maybe a car suddenly swerves from hitting you, or you suddenly find footing to keep from being swept into a raging river, or maybe something happens and maybe we suspect God sent an angel to protect us. Well, He may have. Be careful, because sometimes I think we attribute to angels what God does. There's no need for me to ask God to send an angel to protect me when God Himself is very well capable of protecting me. And so I don't think we need to necessarily ask for angels to come, because God's very well capable Himself. But I think at times it is scriptural that God does send angels to help us, and maybe from deliver us from danger. Guardian angel, if you might say. Some believe Scripture teaches that the presence of guardian angels. Some don't believe that the Bible teaches that. So, it is biblical, though, to see that God does help us in the form of angels in different ways. Now, a couple of notes concerning caution regarding our relationship to angels. And this may take you by surprise, the first one might, but let me mention them to you. First of all, as a word of caution, beware of receiving false doctrine from angels. Let me say that again. Beware of receiving false doctrine from angels. The Bible warns us against receiving false doctrine from, quote, supposed angels. Galatians 1:8. But Paul says, "But if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be anathema." Let him be accursed. So Paul was making this warning because he knew that there is a possibility of deception that can come from angels. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul said, quote, "Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Similarly, if you look at 1 Kings 13, the lying prophet who deceived the man of God in 1 Kings 13 claimed, quote, "An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord and said, bring back the young man with you into your house that he may eat bread and drink water," end quote, 1 Kings 13:18. But the text immediately says after that, "But he lied to him." So he was claiming an angel spoke to him by the word of the Lord, but he was lying. Now, these are instances of false doctrine or guidance being conveyed by angels. Interesting that these examples show the clear possibility of satanic deception tempting us to disobey the clear teachings of the Bible or clear commands of God. And it comes through the voice or the words of an angel. Now, these warnings should keep any Christian from being fooled by the claims of Mormons, for example. Mormons claim that an angel, Moroni, spoke to Joseph Smith and revealed to him the basis of the Mormon religion. That kind of revelation, quote, revelation, is contrary to the teachings of Scripture at many points. And Christians should be warned against these types of claims from Mormons and others. So I think we need to be careful in just saying, well, any teaching, it must be from the Lord if it's from an angel. No, angels can be deceptive. And Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light. So be very careful and do not receive any kind of false doctrine that comes from, quote, supposed angels. Now, a couple of other notes about angels. Do not worship angels. do not pray to the angels, and do not seek angels. Now let me explain all of these. Colossians 2:18 says the worship of angels was one of the false doctrines that was being taught at the church at Colossae. The worship of angels. An angel speaking to John in the book of Revelation warned John in chapter 19, verse 10, you must not worship me. John tried to worship him because of the things that he saw. And the angel said, no, do not worship me. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, don't worship me. So there are people who try to worship angels and desire to worship angels, but we're told in Scripture, do not do that, and that was one of the heresies being taught in Colossae. Nor should we pray to angels. We're to pray only to God, who alone is omnipotent and alone is able to answer our prayers, and who alone is omniscient and therefore able to hear the prayers of all of His people at once. We are not to pray to angels. I know some denominations, Roman Catholic and others, at times appear to pray to angels, but we as believers are not to do that. By virtue of the omnipotence and omniscience of God, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're worthy of being prayed to. But this is not true of any other being. You can pray to Almighty God and to the Trinity, to the Godhead, but do not pray to angels. Paul warns us about thinking that any other, quote, mediator can come between us and God. 1 Timothy 2:5, he says, for there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So if we were to pray to angels, it would be implicitly attributing to them status equal to God, which we should never do. There's no example in Scripture of anybody praying to any specific angel or asking angels for help. So, do not worship angels, do not pray to angels, nor do I think we need to seek for angels to appear to us. I know of some people, before believers even, they have sought to have an angel appear to God. Send me an angel. Show me what I should do. But Scripture gives us no warrant whatsoever to seek for appearances of angels to us. Wayne Grudem talks about this. Angels manifest themselves unsought. So to seek such appearances would seem to indicate an unhealthy curiosity or unhealthy desire for some kind of spectacular event rather than just a love and devotion for God and His work and His Word. Let God be who you seek and not one of God's creations. Angels did appear to people at various times in Scripture, but the people apparently never sought those appearances. And so our role is to talk to God, seek Him, and if God desires, like Psalm 91:11 says, to send angels to protect us in times of need, He can do that. But we are never to seek those appearances. We are to seek God. Now, one final question in this episode. Do angels appear to people today? I think that's a question that we need to address before we move on in our episodes. Do angels appear to people today? Now, in the earliest periods of church history, angels were very active. Book of Acts, they were very active. Acts 8:26, an angel told Philip to travel south on a road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Instructed Cornelius to send a messenger to get Peter to come from Joppa. That messenger was an angel, Acts chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. An angel urged Peter to get up and walk out of the prison, Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 12. An angel promised Paul that no one on his ship would be lost and that he himself would stand before Caesar. That's Acts 27, verses 23 and 24. So you see angels in the book of Acts really active, doing things, being used of God, interacting with people and telling humans things. Not only that, the author of Hebrews encourages his readers, none of whom are apostles or even first-generation believers associated with apostles, as far as that's concerned. Hebrews 2 tells us that. The author of Hebrews never encourages readers that they should continue to show hospitality to strangers, as I mentioned in the passage earlier, apparently with the expectation that they too might sometime entertain angels without realizing it. So even Hebrews, after that first early church experience, the next generation, I guess you might say, even they said you can be entertaining angels unaware. So there is really no compelling reason to rule out the possibility of angelic appearances today. Now, some people say, well, we've got Scripture, we don't need angels, and that is true. Or some may say, well, the canon's closed, the Bible's complete, we don't need manifestations that are angelic, and that's true too. Those are true statements. However, it is very possible God could communicate information to us through angels. It's very possible He could do that. It's not the ordinary means, and whatever God communicates would never be against Scripture. I personally don't see the need for an angel to communicate to us. It's in the realm of possibility according to Scripture, but today you don't really see the need for that since we have the Bible. Why would God need to tell me something through an angel when He could tell me through the pages of His book? Just He could lead me as I open it up, as I read it. In that Word of God, He speaks to us. And so why would He need an angel to speak to us, to speak to me, to give me a message? Because He has the Word of God, I have the Word of God, in written form, through which He speaks. So, if you look at Scripture, angelic appearances, manifestations are not out of the realm of possibility and giving you a message, but it's just not the normal means, and I don't see why God would need to send an angel when we have His book, the Word of God, that is given to us in written form. And once again, be very careful about receiving messages from an angel that would be false doctrine, as again the Bible mentions. That's very clear. That can happen. Happened at Colossae, and it can happen, Galatians as well, can happen today also. Well, I hope this has been enlightening to you, just some more biblical information about angels. In the next 2 to 3 podcasts, we're going to be talking about fallen angels. We're going to be talking about Satan. We're going to be talking about demons. Is demonic possession possible today? We're going to be talking about that in the coming episodes. So be listening for the next 2 to 3 episodes in the 700 series as we continue to talk about angels. And we'll now talk about fallen angels in the episodes to come. I hope you'll join us. We'll see you then. God bless you.
You have been listening to Truth 101 with Dr. Greg Ammons. We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on recent sermons by Dr. Ammons, go to www.fbcgarland.org and join us next time for Truth 101.